This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. AgDirect also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for AgDirect financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with AgDirect, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for AgDirect.
Accidents happen, and when they do to your vehicle, you want the job done right. For that, you need two things, the right person and the right equipment. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has both. Body shop manager and Carlinville resident Jeremy Gons has certified technicians and the latest equipment like a frame straightening rack, sandblasting booth, a 100 alignment machine, and downdraft bake finish paint booth to give you a factory finish. They can paint your bumper, fix the deer hit, or even do color spray in blenders. And they provide loaner cars. Accidents happen, let Jerry and the crew at Smokey Jennings handle it for you. Getting the job done right since 1946.
And it's 9 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning from FM 106, the DTN General opening call for today. Expect corn to open 1 to 2 lower, beans about a nickel higher, wheat 1 to 3 lower. The overnight crude oil market, 21 cents higher at 101.68. The Brent crude, 26 cents higher at 122.60. The June gold contract, $8.20 higher at $1,622.30. The U.S. dollar index, 0.274 higher at 80.052. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 6.39 1/4. That was down 18 3/4. July wheat closed at 6.49 3/4, down 19 1/4. September wheat closed at 6.63 3/4, down 19 3/4. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 6.56 3/4, down 1 1/2. July corn closed at 6.50 3/4, down 2 1/4. September corn closed at 5.64 3/4, down 3 3/4. May soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 14.19 1/2, up 2 3/4. July beans closed at 14.23 3/4, up 2 1/2. August beans closed at 14.16 3/4, up 3 1/4. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 388.20, up 17. July meal closed at 389, up 11. August meal closed at 385.80, up 9. May soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 56.02, up 12. July oil closed at 56.43, up 14. August oil closed at 56.62, up 13. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 335, down 1. July oats closed at 333 1/4, down 2 1/2. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain report.
This is Ken McFarland with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture grain market news report. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with wheat and corn lower and beans higher. Soybean futures were supported by the projected smaller South American crop and lower acres being planted in the U.S., according to last week's USDA acreage report. Central Illinois grain dealers quoted their corn bids mix at 6.49 to 6.64. Soybeans were up 2 to 6 cents at 13.96 to 14.09. Corn bids in southern Illinois were 1 to 3 cents lower at 6.53 to 6.77. Soybeans 1 to 4 higher at 14.04 to 14.20, and wheat was down 18 to 20 cents at 6.20 to 6.39. St. Louis area country elevators and mills reported their corn bids 1 to 3 cents lower at 6.53 to 6.60. Soybeans were up 1 to 4 cents at 14.08 to 14.20. Wheat closed 18 to 20 cents lower at 6.27 to 6.36. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their corn bids 1 to 2 cents lower at 6.64 to 6.69. Soybeans are steady to 3 cents higher at 14.23 to 14.27. New crop wheat was 16 to 19 cents lower at 6.31 to 6.36. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 6.79 to 6.80. The elevators raised their soybean prices 1 to 7 cents, with quotations of 14.40 to 14.44. We closed 16 to 18 cents lower at 6.58 to 6.59, and Milo was steady to 2 cents lower at 6.36 to 6.38. This is Kent McClellan returning to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April hogs closed at 83.85, down 17. May hogs closed at 92.75, down 47. June hogs closed at $92, up 35. April cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 117.90, down 190. June cattle closed at 115.12, down 92. August cattle at 117.87, down $1.15. April feeder cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 148.67, down 57. May feeders closed at 148.20, down 2. August feeders closed at 150.70, and that was down 60. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, April 4th. For the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hogs, barrels and gilts closed 55 cents lower, with a carcass-based price range of 70.5 to 83 and a weighted average of 77.83. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 12,100. Illinois Dirks Brown Gilt trade steady, 53 to 56, and Illinois Dirks Letter Sales mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds from 47 to 51. 450 to 550 pounds at 48 to 53. Over 550 pounds at 51 to 54. Today's estimated receipts of 1,050 and Tuesday's actuals 1,000. Pork carcass cut out, 78.57, and that is up 15 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection, hogs for today, 419,000. Last week, 413,000. A year ago, 415,000. Week to date of 1,252,000. Cattle today, 124,000. Last week, 125,000. A year ago, 119,000. Week to date of 374,000. Box beef cutout values were sharply lower on light to moderate demand and moderate offerings. Total movement today, 192 fab loads and 74 trim. Choice at 180.64, that is down $2.45. Select at 178.37, and that is down $2.54. Tuesday at the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, 320 head sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1 to $1.50 lower. Holstein steers steady. Slaughter steers, choice twos to threes, 124 to 125.5. Selected choice twos and threes, 118 to 124. Holstein steers, choice twos to threes, from 115 to 118. Selecting choice 2s and 3s, 110 to 114. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, traded from 124 to 126.75, with selecting choice 2s and 3s, 118 to 123.75. Opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction, estimated receipts this morning, 460. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading 2 to 3 lower, with Holstein steers 1 to 2 lower in a light test. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 123 to 125. Selecting choice 2s and 3s, 117 to 122. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 114 to 116. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, trading from 122 to 123.5, with selecting choice 2s and 3s, 117 to 122. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
And on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April Class 3 milk closed at 15.71, down 16. For May, 15.47, down 12. For June, 15.58, down 23. April butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 142, down a half. May butter closed at 142 and 3/4, down a quarter. June butter closed at 146, unchanged. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for April, 128.5, up 1 3/4. For May, 126 unchanged. For June, 127 unchanged. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 143.75, down 1 3/4. For block cheese, 149 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 146 and a quarter unchanged. Here are the bids from Honk Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April, $6.62. For May, $6.46. Corn delivered to Scottville for April, $6.54. For May, $6.48. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, $14.04. For May, $14.06. And wheat delivered to Scottville for April, $6.18. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield, $6.62, corn at Scottville, $6.54, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.04, wheat at Scottville, $6.18. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar in the Weather Center showing a band of showers north of a line from Highland to Shelbyville and moving slowly to the east. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculant treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of need.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Cloudy skies today with the chance of a shower. High temperatures in the upper 50s with northeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies. The high in the low 60s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy. A slight chance of a shower Saturday night. Low temperatures in the mid-40s. High temperatures in the mid-60s. Right now at the Weather Center, north winds at 15 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 48 degrees. WSMI Weather Watcher Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville so far, 0.4 inches of rain. And once again, we have 48 degrees at the Weather Center. A party has lost a short hair Yorkie dog. This dog was lost about 4 miles west of Gillespie on Route 16 in the vicinity of the Walker Road. This dog answers to the name of Aggie, and if you find this dog, phone 618-362-6358. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. In our farm news today, we continue our farmer checks. We talk to Kevin Neiman of Litchfield, and he tells us about his operation.
Mostly northwest of Litchfield, Corn, soybeans, mainly.
What have you got done so far?
Oh, so far planted a little corn. Started Sunday. We planted, got the first field done there Sunday afternoon on April Fool's Day. I don't know if that's a good idea to do it that, but we'll find out. So, but finished that up and just, been working at it slowly, I guess. I don't know if right thing to do, but we'll give her a shot and plant something anyway.
I'm kind of curious. Are the neighbors following your track?
The way I was following their track, the neighbors started first, so get everybody nervous. But no, I mean for the most part, everybody started, I think, and I talked to a few people up around the Farmersville area. They're getting finished up. So
have you got all your groundwork that you're going to plant?
Working on that. Still working on some of it, but we got most of it worked.
Okay. Have you still got a lot left over from last year?
A lot of what?
You got a corn in the bin from last year?
Oh, a little bit, maybe 15-20%.
Okay. Do you have any wheat sowed?
Get one field of wheat. Wheat's looking pretty good. It's way ahead of normal. So looks like it's going to be a early wheat harvest.
Yeah, and what do you look for when it comes time to plant beans? I mean, what percentage of your acreage are you going to plant in beans this year?
Oh, bean acreage is about 45% of my total acres this year.
And that was Kevin Neiman of Litchfield. And right now we'll join the National Agricultural Statistics Service about crop conditions in the state. Here's Brad Schwab.
To begin, let's take a look at weather conditions since the start of 2012. During the month of January, temperatures averaged 30.5 degrees, which was 5.7 degrees above normal. Precipitation was reported above normal in the southern third of the state and below normal in the northern two-thirds. However, these offsetting stats made for near-normal accumulations statewide at 1.87 inches. Winter wheat producers were somewhat concerned in the southern third of the state due to the lack of snow cover, but above-normal temps minimized winter kill. February continued the above-normal trend with an average monthly temperature of 34.3 degrees, or 4.6 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged below normal statewide at only 1.2 inches for the month, or 63 one-hundredths of an inch below normal. Once again, snowfall was very minimal throughout the majority of the state. And for March, amazingly high, record-setting temperatures had many questioning if global warming was in fact taking over our weather patterns. The month ended with temperatures averaging a record 54.4 degrees, which was 14.7 degrees above normal. March precipitation, on the other hand, was reported below normal at a statewide average of 1.95 inches, or 42 one-hundredths of an inch below normal. The only crop reporting district exceeding the monthly average was the Southwestern District, where they accumulated just under 3 inches. And now taking a look at conditions for the week ending April 2nd, temperatures averaged a warm 57.7 degrees, which was 10.9 degrees above normal. Rainfall was sparse, averaging only 29 one-hundredths of an inch for the week. Normally, we would expect just under an inch for this 7-day period. Topsoil moisture supplies ended the week at 2% very short, 29% short, 64% adequate, and 5% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated short to mostly adequate. Continued above normal temperatures in recent weeks have enabled corn planting to get off to a very early start. As of April 1st, 5% had been planted, compared to 0% a year ago and for the 5-year averages. Statewide, farmers intend to plant 12.5 million acres of corn this year, which was down 100,000 from last year. Soybean planting has yet to begin, but in a recent survey, Illinois farmers indicated they intend to plant 9 million acres this year, up 100,000 from 2011. Oats planting is at 70% complete, compared to 20% last year and 14% for the 5-year average. The condition of the soft red winter wheat crop came in at 1% very poor, 3% poor, 18% fair, 58% good, and 20% excellent. Pastures and alfalfa fields are getting off to a good start after a very mild winter and were rated in mostly good to excellent condition. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And it is 6:26 on this Thursday morning from FM 106. A few weeks ago, a University of Illinois website celebrated its first anniversary. FarmDocDaily.com began March 17th last year by a group led by Scott Irwin of the Department of Agricultural and Consumer Economics at the university. He tells us about how they got started.
Like everybody else observed, changes in the technology of how people were receiving their information, and we also observed the changing format that people were receiving information, and knew that we needed to adapt to those changes. And on the technology side, people using smartphones, iPads, tablets, all these different kinds of mobile devices. And we knew that we needed some kind of platform that would be easily accessible to folks using those kinds of devices. So that was the technology side. And on the other side, we just like in your business, the news cycle is now 24/7, and just the speed at which you need to be providing information has certainly increased, and in the form of it. So what we did was to take existing blog style format, which is, and then married that with the idea of a one newspaper style analysis article per day, and there you go. That's Farm Doc Daily.
And how, who is it aimed at generally?
It is aimed at what we call Corn Belt Farm Community Extended.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, our focus is on Corn Belt agriculture, crops and livestock. And so we would regard our core audience as crop and livestock producers, starting in Illinois and extending outwards in the Corn Belt. And then, of course, conducting the kind of economic analysis and providing information for that target audience is, of course, of great interest to input suppliers, people that merchants that buy grain, and so on. So that's what I mean, from farmers and closely related input and output firms.
How has it been received?
We've just been very excited at how well it has been received. I wish we could say we had planned for that, but I think we're fortunate that the concept was apparently right on the mark, right at just the right time to introduce something like this. Just recently got our usage statistics for March, and we had almost 50,000 visitors in March to the Farm Doc Daily website.
That's fantastic. Who prepares all the information that you present on the site?
Well, we have a fantastic team here of individuals that contribute. So we have more than 10 people that contribute. So we're very pleased to see that we have such a great group of individuals who are preparing this. They're just faculty and staff in the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Economics here at the University of Illinois. Plus, we have a couple of colleagues at other universities in the Midwest that are also becoming regular contributors, Carl Zuloff at Ohio State and Chris Hurt at Purdue.
That was Scott Irwin. The website address once again, Farm Doc Daily, farmdocdaily.com. It's coming up on 6:31 on this Thursday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Langford, Kansas pork producer Roy Henry sees great opportunity for expanded exports in Southeast Asia. Henry, a member of the National Pork Board, recently participated in a U.S. Meat Export Federation trade mission to the region. He says consumer confidence is the biggest hurdle in South Korea.
Many countries want to be self-sufficient. Consumers want them to be self-sufficient. And we have to earn the confidence of the Asian people. And that's our biggest challenge in probably all the markets, because we definitely have a competitive advantage on cost of production. That's kind of where I see that market. Great opportunity in the future. Their income per person is going up. They're around the $25,000 per person average income per year now, which is an increase. Our economy is relatively strong. So it's a good opportunity to get some more meat protein from the U.S. into that country.
And China has become a key market for United States pork. Henry says this market will remain highly volatile.
They got a lot of people. We know that. They got the challenges in production due to disease and all the issues like that they have to do. But their economy is getting stronger. And as it gets stronger, more people want to go to consume meat protein. It's kind of a government deal. They want to be highly self-sufficient if at all possible.
Trade barriers are always present. While China has many mouths to feed, Mr. Henry says those trade challenges are also evident.
One of the major hurdles with China is the fact that they don't accept beta agonists, which is used widely throughout the U.S. industry. And until they accept the use of paline in our production systems, it's going to limit the amount of pork we can export to China. That's been the big hurdle with China for quite some time now.
For more information, go to www.pork.org. Early last week, an ag economist at the University of Illinois suggested the marketplace was telling farmers in his state planting a few more soybeans might be a good, stable financial decision for the coming year. The USDA Prospective Plantings Report released last Friday showed Illinois farmers took the cue, and Todd Gleason files this report.
The United States Department of Agriculture surveys farmers in early March to find out how many acres they'll plant of each of the primary crops. Those numbers are compiled and then released as the Prospective Plantings Report. It showed, as University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke had suggested, that Illinois farmers would plant a few more acres of soybeans, up 100,000, and a few less acres of corn, down 100,000. The USDA survey results squared nicely with a model run Schnitke did on the state using Illinois' Planting Decision Model spreadsheet. That planting decision model calculates crop budgets looking for profitability. Schnitke reported results from the model on the FarmDoc Daily website March the 27th and made these comments that same day.
These results would suggest that we won't see much shift to corn. If anything, a stable rotation in these models suggest, corn soybeans or corn soybeans rotation will be just as profitable as continuous corn. I suspect we won't see much shift to corn and maybe even a shift back to soybeans a bit because of the experiences many farmers had with large yield drags on corn after corn the past two years. We've seen many farms, particularly in central Illinois, have much lower corn after corn yields than corn after soybean yields.
The switch to soybeans reported by USDA, slight though it was in Illinois, was unique among the top five corn and soybean growing states in the nation. Illinois was the only one to increase soybean acres and also the only one not to increase corn acres. Farmers in Iowa are expected to plant 500,000 more acres of corn this year. Nebraskan farmers, 450,000 more acres. Minnesotans up the ante by 600,000. And even Indiana farmers are expected to increase planted acres by 200,000. Now, while Schnitke did not take up the differences between Illinois and the other four states, he did say the planting decision model shows it to be more profitable to plant corn in Illinois, just not continuously.
And the reason for that is those rotations, corn after corn, we built in a 10 bushel yield drag into corn after corn compared to corn after soybeans, and the rotations actually get you that higher returned corn after soybeans and less of the corn after corn.
So Illinois farmers recognize that in order to get the most out of the corn crop, it pays to rotate. Those wanting to download and use the Planting Decision Model spreadsheet in Illinois, or any other state for that matter, can find it on the FarmDoc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Once again, the DTN General opening call later this morning. Look for corn to open 1 to 2 lower, beans about a nickel higher, and wheat 1 to 3 lower. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. And we'll keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on both WSMI and WSMI-FM.